Okay, good morning. Love feasts. Love feasts. Have you heard of that phrase before? Love feasts. Would you turn to Jude with me? What a beautiful morning. It's fun. Community. I like that word too, community. Jude 12 is where we see this phrase. I think we should read 11 to get the context. Let's have a body member of the day today. Let's see. I saw somebody and I go, body. I thought body member of the day. Bobby and Kathy Barinski, those are body members of the day. Yeah. Bobby and Kathy, they are amazing people. Wow, they are amazing. We have so many God-given, precious, spirit-filled, loving. By the way, wasn't that last song amazing? I didn't know she could sing. Julius always told me you could sing like that, but I didn't believe him until now. It was amazing. How about Pastor Cannon? Isn't Pastor Glenn Cannon precious? And then I was also thinking of the two Hungarian brothers here. Actually, there are more. There's two sisters here, Shunki and Zsolt, who mean a lot to me. You guys, you mean a lot to me. All the Hungarians that are listening on the, they should be listening. Those that are, that's Colossians 2. Let's just go there for a second, because I know that many times our hearts, people may not know our hearts, and in Colossians, in chapter 2, you see how much Paul cared for these people. And remember, Paul had never pastored in that city, but he considered this church was under his ministry, and he had a real care for them. This is what Pastor Mike Williams said to me yesterday morning, how much we care for people to get it, you know, for them to get it, to learn Christ. And every time we assemble, in all of our labor, if you look at that chapter 2, he cared about them, verse 4. And I could say this to the Hungarians, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. So I am with the Hungarians in the spirit, because God put me there in my heart. God put that in my heart. We are together this morning. It's in our hearts. We have community. We have community even if we are not there. We have connection, community. We have love. Even if I'm not physically in Colossae, Pastor Coop goes to Puerto Rico, and his heart is in Puerto Rico, not San Francisco. Puerto Rico. But we would like his heart to be in Baltimore. Okay, and it is. Okay. Yeah, I know you go to New York and you totally with Pastor Love and you do outreach, and thank you for your ministry, Pastor. It's beautiful. What was Paul saying here? Chapter 2, verse 5, joying and beholding your order. How can you enjoy somebody's order or the order of the church and the function of the church when you're not there? I'm not there in that family, but I can, in my heart, I can see that family, but I'm not there, but I can see it. Isn't that amazing? I really feel that's true. It happened with Elijah. Elijah was not there, but he saw, and he understood, and he was right on. It's a gift. It's a gift of knowledge. It's a gift of wisdom. It's intuition. It's an understanding. So that's how we function as body members. And this is a beautiful thing. So if you look at a few of these, there are, in almost every epistle of Paul, he is really pulling them along. He is like wanting the best. He wants Christ formed in them. In Federal Hill, I know Justin feels that way. I want them to get it. I want them to feel it. I want them to see it. I want them to know Jesus. I want them to have the feeling of the victory over the victory in life. You know, we want community and love, that we would love one another. So this is our message today. We have a couple points on it. So you follow this with me. Is that correct? Galatians, Christ formed in you. Corinthians, I am afraid that you will be taken away from the simplicity that is in Christ. You need to be rooted and grounded. How many of you know what misogyny is? Misogyny. You see it in newspapers and the social, misogynist. You're a sexist, misogynist, homophobic. Misogyny, you know what that is? That's hatred of women. So there's a whole vocabulary in our culture today that that is being repeated to us over and over again, and one of them is an accusation to a political leader that he's a misogynist. He hates women. But do I hate women? No, I don't hate women. But you hear that long enough, you wonder, what do you mean? I don't even know what the word means. You're a misogynist. I don't know what that word. Wait here, I need to go. Okay, why do I bring this up? Because you have to get ready to fight a battle. And it's a battle of words. It's a battle for truth. You and I have to get ready. Are you homophobic? I'm not one of those. I don't know what that is. I'm not afraid of homosexual people. I'm not afraid of them. That's what the word means, right? Homophobic. You're afraid of them? I'm not afraid of them, but I'm told I am, but I'm not. But if they say it long enough, that's called Orwellian language, 1984, George Orwell, Orwellian language. You have two words that you need to learn. Now, this only introduces our subject to get you interested in what I want to say from the Bible, because this is incredible. This is amazing. And it is double think and also news speak. It's the language, the new language. It's the language of the totalitarian regime in the George Orwellian, the Orwellian book of 1984. It's a whole vocabulary. It's words. Words. White supremacy. Words. You're okay, but words can lose their meaning. Are there white supremacists? I'm sure there are. I'm not one of them. And do I hate women? I don't hate women. Are you kidding me? They are awesome. The love of God is in our heart. What do you mean? We have community, and in our community, we are like normal. We have found Christ, and we have found what it means to live in the Spirit and get rooted and grounded in doctrine so that in your mind and in your heart, you think with God. And when somebody lies about you, you're able to say, that's not true. No, that's not true. That's not true. A girl is a boy. A boy is a girl. No, that's not true. I don't believe that. That's not true. No, that's not true. I don't accept that. That's not in my heart. A boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. And I'm not homophobic. I'm against a homosexual lifestyle. It's unhealthy. Any doctor, any researcher could tell you that. But we move beyond this objective truth, and now we are inventing and talking about things that are not real. But the unbeliever doesn't have an anchor to his soul. But you and I have an anchor, and I've got three words I'm going to share with you from a story from Germany in 1171, in the Middle Ages. But I did ask you to go to Jude just to read that phrase, Feasts of Charity, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for a reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity. So I want to just, do we have that iPad? Yeah, I just want to write that phrase down because I want it to stick with you. A feast of love, feast. Now, I'm all about feasts of agape love is charity. That's the meaning of there. Feast of love. I love feasts of love. Now, today is Super Bowl Sunday. Probably many of you, your families, you'll come to the service at 5, go home, kick off as a 6:40. You might be there on time or early. I know in my family we're gathering. We have a grill going. We'll bring our own meat. Ladies are bringing stuff, and we'll have a feast. What kind of feast will it be? A feast of football. A feast of pizza and food. What kind of feast? Those things. But what else is there? Right? Love. A feast of love. I'm going to church because it's a feast. What kind? It's a spiritual feast of love. We love each other. In the love, and we did teaching on that from 1 Corinthians 13, what love is and what love is not, there are 16 points. I don't think we have them up. Oh, it is up there. Oh, okay. Wow, this might be a long message. I haven't even started it yet. Okay, but do I swipe it that way? You want to do it for me? Okay, let's go back. Oh, good. Thanks. Oh, give me a hug. Oh my gosh. Pastor Steve did a great job. Pastor Steve gets credit for that. That's amazing. This is a feast of love today. Okay. This list is our focus. I hate to use these words. I'm not going to do it as a habit, but just for you to kind of get in track what I want to say today. There is a feast of love. There is such a thing as a fellowship where we love each other this way. Not emotional necessarily, but maybe sacrificially. Because where there is love, there is also pain. Let me repeat that. Where there is love, there is also endurance. There is sacrifice. Where there is love, there is losing something. Where there is love, there is like, I want to judge you. I want to judge you, but I will not judge you because life is not about judging people. You're a misogynist. You're a homophobic. You're a racist. You're this and that. It's like, okay, our community is falling apart. Because we are filled with judging. Our family is falling apart. Guys, I'm always blaming my son. My son is never satisfied. I'm always blaming him, or my daughter, or my wife, or my... We have no feast of charity because we don't have charity. We don't have love. We don't have agape love. That's wrong. How does this church stay together? Love. There's no other way. There's no way. You cannot intellectually, personality, methodology, program, in no way it stays together without love. The world, actually, I have said, the world is falling apart, but actually, eschatologically speaking, it's falling together. The devil is pulling the pieces together, and he's making it work. And we are outside of it. Matthew 7 says, enter in at the gate that is narrow. Broad is the way to destruction. We are a minority because we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, Holy Spirit, and this is the Spirit of God who is love and joy. Love and joy and community, those three words are what I want to share today. And I want to use this story to illustrate it. It's pretty amazing. Okay, so love suffers long, is kind, rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, never fails. How many is that? Is that eight? Yeah, eight. I'm enjoying the whole idea of going really slow. I'm up here, pulling. All right, sorry. You didn't come here for that. Okay. This is a short story called The Wives of Weinsberg. It happened in Germany in the Middle Ages. The year was 1141. Wolf, the Duke of Bavaria, sat trapped inside his castle. Outside his walls lay the army of Frederick, the Duke of Swabia, his brother, the Emperor Conrad. The siege lasted long. The time had come when Wolf knew he must surrender. Messengers rode back and forth. Terms were proposed, conditions allowed, arrangements completed. Sadly, Wolf and his officers prepared to give themselves to their bitter enemy. They would surrender to them and maybe be executed or imprisoned. But the wives of Weinsberg, who were in the castle, of course, were not ready to lose all. They sent a message to Conrad, asking the emperor to promise safe conduct for all the women in the garrison, that they might come out with as many of their valuables as they could carry. The request was granted, and soon the castle gates opened. Out came the ladies, but in startling fashion, they carried not gold or jewels. Each one was bending under the weight of her husband, whom she hoped to save from the vengeance of the victorious host. To the husbands here, turn to your wives and ask them, could you carry me out of the castle? Would you save my life? I know you'd go for the gold. But this part I like. Conrad, who was really a generous and merciful man, is said to have been brought to tears by the extraordinary performance. He hastened to assure the women of their husband's perfect safety and freedom. Then he invited them all to a banquet and made peace with the Duke of Bavaria. on terms much more favorable than expected. Three words I see in that story. One is love. What love can do. How powerful it is. How it thinks. If you look at this list, it fits what happened in the hearts of those women. I don't want to lose my husband. I could save him. And the Christian is like a minority because we think with love. What can we do? How do we think? And when we gather with love in our heart, Romans 5:5, then things are possible. Mother Teresa said this about joy. Joy is one of the best safeguards against temptation. The devil is a carrier of dust and dirt, and he uses every opportunity to throw what he has at us. I like that. He throws at us dust and dirt. Nothing more. Of course, flaming arrows in Ephesians 6. But our joy, she said, it safeguards us against temptation. And a joyful heart protects us from this dirt. That is because Jesus is there in our joy. Jesus takes full possession of our soul when we surrender to him joyfully. You know, when these ladies are coming out of the castle carrying their husbands and the emperor sees it, it touches his heart. That's what this life is about. It's such a temptation to judge people, and it's another thing to love them. Another quotation, try not to judge people. If you judge others and you are not giving love, instead try to help them by seeing their needs and acting to meet them. It isn't what anyone may or may not have done, but what you have done that matters in God's love. You know, we think of the little boys that were in our gym yesterday. There must have been, I don't know how many, there must have been 50 or 60 little boys from the city in our gym. And we spoke to them at their halftime. And I talked to Coach Lynch, like, what should I say to them? And we walked for a few steps, and he told me, they need to learn how to make good decisions. They need to make good decisions because good decisions have consequences and bad decisions have consequences. So I said, thank you very much. That's what I'll preach to them. So at halftime, all these little boys, I mean, they are 12 years old and 14 and 16 years old. Every one of them precious. Do we love? Yes. It's a feast of love. Do we judge? No. We forgive. We love. We make an opportunity for these little boys to be in the best gymnasium in this area of the city, if not in the best in the whole city of Baltimore. I don't know. Our gym is incredible. Have you ever been in that building? And I said to the boys, boys, you are honored today by God. God gave us this gym, and you are here playing basketball as mighty little men. You are men. They're looking at me. I go, Patrick Mahomes is playing in the Super Bowl tomorrow. How did he get there? Good decisions. How do you live your life? You make good decisions. We had a beautiful time. We high-fived each other, Coach Lynch, Jen, John Odahara, a group of Austin, a bunch of young guys, Charlie Wire, Ice Cream. Oh, it's an amazing group. I've said to the little boys, you follow these men. You have new friends. You follow these men. You come here, and you have good influence, and you make good decisions. So this is beautiful. Are we judging people? No, we are loving people. The world talks its foolishness, like you hate women. It's like, how do you know who I am and what is in my heart? You don't know what you're talking about. It's just the propaganda of the hour. It's the words. It's the lies of the devil. It's the broad way to destruction. I haven't gone in the broad way of destruction. We have gone in the way of love. And Jesus, when he left, the main thing he said, love one another. They will know that the Father sent me because you love one another. Love. What love is not, here's this list, does not envy, does not promote itself in front of others, not puffed up in its own esteem of itself, does not behave unseemly, is not weird and strange, it's quiet and silent, if sitting over in the corner, but it is powerful, it's there, it's faithful, it shows up, doesn't push itself out front, but it knows what it is. It knows what we believe. We know the God that gave us love and put love in our heart. And mercy rejoices over judgment. And in the story, it goes like this. The women are carrying their husbands out of the castle. The emperor starts to weep. And he goes, I will not judge them. I rejoice with mercy. I rejoice with them. We will have a feast. And they had a feast, and they made their agreement, and they made peace. And they had a feast of mercy, a feast of love, a feast of joy. Isn't that what has happened in our hearts? That God said, I do not judge you, I give you mercy. Isn't that what changed our life? I went to a Bible school where there wasn't judgment, but there was mercy. And I learned a way of life of like serving and being a servant. And paying a price and losing something, but gaining something much greater. Gaining, in this case, the woman gained her husband. Gained an incredible sense of integrity. And it says in the story that it became in history known as the Castle Mount was afterwards known as the Hill of Wyburg True. Or women's fidelity. The hill became known for that, those women and what they did. Well, I'm finishing. I am blessed today. I am so encouraged. I'm also somehow in my heart very concerned that many Christians, they will also be very confused. They are without an assembly. They are without doctrinal teaching. They don't understand it. They can easily, like all of us, become judges. We lose our joy, and the devil just throws his dirt and his dust at us. And we don't have any authority to do much. We cannot. We're afraid to go to our neighbor. We're afraid to go out and evangelize. We're afraid to be a missionary. We're afraid to make any big decision. We can't even deal with our eyes when we are tempted. When a man is tempted with a woman, he cannot even handle it because he has no authority. He's just covered with dust and dirt, and he's judging and being judged, and he's empty and tired, and he has no joy. And yet he could be a pastor. What happened to him? He lost the feast of charity. He lost the fellowship of love. He lost the narrow gate. And few there be that find it. And then Proverbs 16, verse 8, you can have a little bit, But if righteousness is there, it's a feast. There's a feast when righteousness is there. One last verse is, let us go unto him without the camp, Hebrews chapter 13. And I'll finish with that when it goes. Jesus died outside the camp in Jerusalem, outside Jerusalem. They would, in the Jewish tabernacle time, they took the hide of the animal outside the camp, and it was burned without the camp, verse 11. And Jesus also suffered without the gate. Now here it is, 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. I don't know about you, but this world isn't interesting to me. It's just hatred and evil words and accusations and judging and putting people to cancel culture. All this stuff that's going on in the world is like, I'm out of here. I'm following Jesus outside the camp. I'm in a minority. I'm a little people. Little conies are little folk, but they live in the rocks. Their conies know what's going on. They're little gophers, and they live in the rocks, and they survive. Their conies are little folks. We are a little group of people, the little flock. But brother and sister, if you get in touch with us, and by God's grace and the Spirit of God that dwells in us, you'll see great things happen. In principle, we'll be carrying our husbands outside the castle. Guys, we love them so much. They are our most precious thing. Because love never fails. Because this is something bigger than just judging and anger and hatred. This is something bigger. We have a love feast. We love people. We have a love feast. We forgive people. We have a love feast. Our Christ came and died outside the gate to save us. And we are on a mission in this world to get it right. To get it right. And that's what this is about. Love and joy. Don't ever lose your joy. Get serious about it. Get real mean with your neighbor sitting next to you and just tell them right up, if you ever lose your joy, I'm going to pound the tar out of you. You don't ever lose your joy. Amen. Amen. Don't you ever lose your joy. What? Oh. So there's love and joy, and then you have a feast. That's it. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Well, before we pray, would the husbands turn to their wives and get a straight answer? Would you carry me out of the castle or not? I want to know before we leave this room, what's the answer to that question? Will you carry me out or not? And she says, probably about 30 years ago I could carry you out. Now I'd be crushed under the weight. Okay, here's the prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning and our fellowship and our day today. And somebody here, maybe hearing, you haven't yet started. You haven't put your trust with all your heart, please. And to those that have, please don't stop in your heart attitude, giving all surrender, everything to God as a way of thinking and living. But if this is your first time, then you'll be born again. You'll be born of the Spirit of God. And be serious about it. Get serious with God. Walk by faith in him. He will show you. He will fill you. He will satisfy you. In Jesus' name. Anyone in the auditorium, raise your hand, saying that prayer. Anybody saying that prayer, you are born of Christ, born again by believing in him. In Jesus' name, amen.